like to play till the sun go down. Yeah, we like to play till the sun go down. Then we take that town, then we take that town.
All right, guys. Well, welcome back to another episode of the Eat Sleep Fantasy Football Podcast. We're back. We got a two-man pod today. We have a lot to talk about. We got a lot of waiver wire stuff, a lot of injuries, a pretty packed weekend, if not, you know, not necessarily the best games, but definitely a lot of news that came out of these games. So before we get into any of that, I want to introduce with me tonight Armando Crespo. What's up, Armando?
Armando vacilón, Armando rumba en la calle, Armando la gozadera, Armando.
What's up, guys? I just want to say congratulations to the Dolphins for knocking out another quarterback. So I think they change their names to quarterback killers because they're killing it.
Or anybody that plays against the Browns. Because, holy crap, if you're a guy that plays in like a two-quarterback league, for example, and you decided to like roll the dice on RG3 and then decided, you know, maybe I'm going to do it with Josh McCown because RG3's out, things probably aren't looking too good for you right now. Philip.
Yeah, right? We call him out all the time. Poor kid. No one's going to read his articles anymore.
No, man, he's been hitting on some dumpster diving stuff, which is pretty awesome, Cole Beasley. We got a ton of stuff to talk about, and we really want to get you guys prepared for the waiver wire and a lot of the action that's going to be going on there, because this is the time of year. I mean, injuries happen, and if you want to know whether or not you need to spend your priority, or you know if you're going to spend some big bucks in that fab. So let's go ahead and jump right into that.
All right, so what's the first
injury? We don't really have a drop for that, huh?
No, we don't have a drop. No.
Waiver wire.
That's good. Waiver wire. One of these days I'm going to get working on that. So the first guy we're going to talk about is the most important one, is Adrian Peterson. He was knocked out with a meniscus tear or something?
They say meniscus tear.
Meniscus tear. So they say he's week to week right now. What do you think about that, Rito?
In the most ridiculous report of the day, Adrian Peterson has a meniscus tear. If he needs a partial repair, could be 4 weeks. If he needs a full repair, could be 4 months. But he's not ruled out for this Sunday. Like,
right?
What?
Oh, man.
The fuck does that mean? Honestly, right now, if I was an Adrian Peterson owner, I would be expecting, you know, a several week to be out, you know, probably about that 4 week timeline. But that's something that we need to ask the doctor coming up later in the week. But right now, if you're an Adrian Peterson owner, you got to figure out what you need to do in the waiver wire. Luckily, there's several options.
And they're probably all free agents.
So let's start with the guy that comes to mind for a lot of people, who for me in this backfield would be the top pickup. And that's Jerick McKinnon. It's not going to be the same without Peterson, right? They're probably going to go back to this sort of timeshare between McKinnon and Asiata. But we saw that the offense was pretty effective. You know, to some extent, especially with Stephon Diggs this past week, do you think that either one of these guys, Jerick McKinnon or Matt Asiata, can be, you know, a top 24 running back plugging in?
No, I think they're both going to be flex plays at most. Asiata is the goal line back, and he's going to get the majority of the work in the red zone. McKinnon is known to be the one to catch the ball. So, I mean, if they're going to be splitting another running back by committee in the NFL, both of them are just flex starts at this point until something happens. McKinnon, last time he got the opportunity, did show up on top. But, you know, Matt Asiata, it's been 2 years. Maybe he's changed a bit. He might get the major workload, but we'll see.
I will say this. Even though I am favoring McKinnon right now, I do think that it is worth speculating, especially if you have like a late priority, or you just want to put, you know, 2 to 5% of your budget on Matt Asiata just to kind of speculate. Because when Peterson did go down, it was Asiata that had more carries.
6 carries, 2 carries. So that's a big That's a big deal.
So I do kind of think I'd rather have McKinnon, but
he's a talent. He's really talented when the ball's in his hands in the open field, but not between the tackles. That's the big difference.
Fair enough. Probably somebody I'm going to personally be targeting in some of my leagues is McKinnon, just to kind of speculate on it, because I think the upside is there for him to be very good if they give him the ball enough.
Just something
I just don't know if they will.
Something I want to know. We went running back heavy one of our mock drafts, and we took McKinnon as our handcuffed to Adrian Peterson because we had Charles and Peterson. We took McKinnon. So just throwing that out there.
Okay. All right. So another guy that went down this weekend is Doug Martin. You know, we're going to stick with the theme of injured running backs because that seems to be this theme over the past 2 years in fantasy. So Doug Martin goes down, you know, is not expected at the moment to miss a ton of time, but we've seen Charles Sims be very effective. I don't know how many leagues he's still available. I probably shouldn't say that. Do we have any stats on that?
It doesn't matter. If Charles Sims wasn't drafted in your league, then you guys all fucked up. Charles Sims should be on your bench, flex worthy. He catches the ball out of the backfield. And if you have him on your roster, he's definitely worth starting next week and moving forward until Doug Martin comes back. Doug Martin just suffered a slight tweak to his hammy, is what he's saying. So, you know, we'll wait to see what comes out of the doctors. You know, tomorrow's a big day, so we'll see what happens. But right now, Charles Sims is the target, and if he's the one starting in the next couple of weeks, he's a guy you want to start.
And Sims isn't available in a ton of leagues. He's available in 16% of leagues, but if you're in that 16%, check a waiver wire because you never know if somebody, you know, after the first week of maybe not so great rushing performance, even though he did get in the end zone the first week, may have dropped him. So if he's if you're in that 16%, definitely go pick him up because I think he will be just as productive as Doug Martin if Martin has any time that he's sidelined.
And the next guy we're going to talk about is Danny Woodhead with a full-on ACL tear and is out for the year. Rest in peace,
sad music.
The San Diego offense.
I'm really sad.
Yeah, I'm not. I got Melvin Gordon in all my leagues. Cha-ching! Oh.
Well, I don't own Danny Woodhead, but I think it's just bad, to be honest, for the Chargers offense as a whole, although they didn't really show it yesterday. No. So, I mean, they looked just fine without Woodhead and without Keenan Allen.
There's no one else you want to target on that offense as far as running backs goes. Melvin Gordon's all they have left. They already lost Brandon Oliver, who might have picked up the work. So right Correct. Now, we don't know who is going to be the backup to Melvin Gordon, but they're not worth getting on the waiver wire, that's for sure.
Right. So we'll get into some of those receivers in just a second as far as San Diego. But continuing on in the running back theme, we had Jonathan Stewart go down in week two.
Yep.
Looks like he might miss some time with a hamstring injury. So, you know, once he left the game, it was Whitaker. Carried the ball 16 times, over 100 yards. He caught some passes. Looked quite effective.
So I want to add something to this. Curtis Artis Payne did not suit up to this game. This was the same issue they had last year when Stewart went down. Curtis Artis Payne was not dressed up. Then the next game he ended up starting. They used Whitaker in the special teams. That's why he dressed, and that's why he stressed last year. Curtis Artis Payne is a handcuff to own to Jonathan Stewart. And Fozzie right. Whitaker also went down with his own injury. We don't know the severity of it, but if you're gonna target, in my opinion, a running back, it is Curtis Artis Payne. And hopefully he'll slip down because people are gonna go ahead and target Fozzie.
So with Cameron Artis Payne, I do want to mention, you know, he was inactive and we saw Tolbert in the game get 9 carries. So I think this is gonna be another one of those running back splits between Artis Payne and Fozzie Whitaker. I think Artis Payne will probably get a little bit more work if it's, you know, based on kind of what we've seen. I know that at the end of last year, it was the Artis Payne show as far as who got the most carries. So another one of those situations where you can kind of try to pick your guy and gamble on who you want. Another situation where I kind of maybe disagree a little bit on who I would target versus Armando here, but I think it's going to be another running back by committee as long as Jonathan Stewart's out.
Yeah. All right. Well, the next guy we're going to talk about is Arian Foster with a groin injury.
Of course.
He is day-to-day, so we don't know who's going to be the starting running back, but he's at least down for now. He fucked everyone else in fantasy this week, so.
He definitely leads the league in groin injuries.
Poor guy. I would hate to be his girlfriend.
Yeah. It's probably ice in his groin right now.
Yeah, right?
That cannot feel good. You know what I mean? Like groin injuries. all the time. Like, that's your go-to move.
As far as who to target in back there, I mean, everyone's going to target Jay Ajayi. Honestly, right. There's Kenyon Drake. There's Damian Williams. There's Isaiah Pede. You know, pick your poison. Honestly, I'm a Dolphins fan, and the guy I'm going to target is Isaiah Pede. I'm not going to waste a waiver on him, but I feel like he's going to be the one starting next week if Foster does miss a few weeks.
Right. I mean, Jay Ajayi is available in almost a quarter of leagues, actually, so he's out there a lot.
He looks bad, though. He looks terrible.
He looks bad. And you wonder, is that just a function of the Dolphins' offense being kind of incompetent for the first 2 weeks? You know, but Jay Ajayi didn't even make the trip the first week. He had 14 yards the second week, along with a fumble. So it's not like he was effective with the little bit of work he was given on Sunday. So, honestly, he's a guy that, even though he's available on waivers, I'd much rather prioritize Jerick McKinnon. I'd much rather have Fozzie or Cameron Artis Payne. At this point, you know, there's other people I would rather have than Jay Ajayi. I'm not even sure if I would want anyone else in the Dolphins' backfield, to be honest.
Yeah. It feels like, I'm just going to say it's middle of the pod. This is one of the weeks that I would not use my waiver wire if I'm not the number one overall, because there's so many options and someone's going to fall through. Unless you know what you need and on your roster, or you know who you want, someone's good is going to fall through. There's just so many players that are going to be available on the waiver wire this week.
That's kind of where I'm sitting, right? So I have a pretty high waiver priority in one of my leagues. And I'm sitting here thinking, do I want Jerick McKinnon? Do I want a guy like Fozzie Whitaker? Do I want Cameron Artis Payne? There's so many options. A couple of these guys will break out, and that's kind of what you do when you play the running back game and you load these guys up on your bench. And it's kind of going to be a situation where basically I'm going to put my money on whoever is in a situation where the guy's going to be out the longest, exactly. Which might be, you know,
Peterson.
Which might be Peterson. And we kind of have to just wait as the week progresses to get some of these injury reports and news about how long these injuries are expected to occur and take for these players to come back. But any stock into Kenyon Drake?
I don't. Honestly, if you have a high waiver priority, do not waste a waiver wire on the Dolphins situation right now. It's just there's too many question marks. He's day to day.
What if you're in a fab? Would you spend, I don't know, 2-4% of your budget on Kenyon Drake?
If you are in a fab league and you have Arian Foster and you are hurting for a running back, sure, I would, yes. Kenyon Drake, yes, maybe.
The other thing about Foster is, you know, for as much as we malign him with all his injuries, he's week to week with this groin injury. Like, it came back, he had his MRI.
He's day to day.
Day to day. I'm sorry. That's what I meant to say. So he seems like he'll be back pretty soon. And he's got some pretty nice matchups for the Dolphins, at least, some pretty nice matchups for the next few weeks. So if you really are desperate for a plug and play, one of these two guys probably will have some value next week against Cleveland. This week against Cleveland.
Yeah. All right. Well, the next guy, I think that's all for the running backs I really needed to cover. Anyone else?
Well, there is one more guy I do want to cover. Amir Abdullah went down with an injury. And so the reports are now that they're going to try to give a lot more work to the rookie Dwayne Washington. So I think he's actually worth a pretty good, you know, amount of your waiver, depending on the severity of Abdullah's injury, right? So, again, based on the news that we have at this moment, we don't know how long Abdullah's injury will be. Theo Riddick is the guy that comes in mind, but he's not necessarily a three-down back. So, Dwayne Washington's a guy that I would spend, you know, 5-10% of my personal budget on, just to kind of speculate and see how that might shake out.
Right. I just want to comment on this. His x-rays did come back negative. He is flying to North Carolina to see Dr. Robert Anderson. So apparently if he goes over there, that's a pretty big deal. It could be a serious injury. So maybe Amir Abdul's handcuff is Dwayne Washington, and that is a guy to target as your number one waiver priority. I might agree with that. If Amir Abdul's out, that's a guy to target. Theo Riddick is not his handcuff. Theo Riddick is a pass-catching running back. They play completely different roles.
And a very effective one. But that's, yeah, exactly like you said, that's not exactly his role. It's not like what I would expect from Charles Sims. You know, if Doug Martin misses time, if this comes out, right, that Doug Martin's going to miss time, and for some reason you're in that small percentage of leagues where Charles Sims is available, I would waste a ton of my fab or my high priority on Charles Sims, because I think Charles Sims will be Doug Martin if Martin's out.
He has value even when Doug Martin comes back. That's the thing.
Yeah, even when Doug Martin comes back, Charles Sims has value, exactly. But if he's gone, he is the guy.
Right. All right, well, let's go through the receivers. There are a couple of notes, mostly on Seattle.
Let me add one guy, not injury-related.
Go ahead.
All right, so I do want to add one guy, Armando, before we move on, not injury-related. It seems like we might have ourselves a full-on running back by committee with the Oakland Raiders, and I think that DeAndre Washington, if he's available in your league, you know, we kind of said it a few times in the offseason that we expected him to come in on certain rotations. He's getting more work than even I expected.
He's getting a lot more work than we expected, and so is the third-string running back. They're all getting just about equal amount of snaps. Yep. Which is very scary.
Jalen Rashard came in and got a good amount of work as well. I would definitely add DeAndre Washington if I could.
If you are a Murray owner, in my opinion, you need to sell high very, very fast, because these touchdowns are going to fade away very, very fast. So if you have...
I still like him. I just don't think he's a one.
No. And that's the thing. Some people draft him as a one or a two. And in my opinion, at most, throughout the season, he's going to finish as a flex option. A good flex option at that, but he's not a number two running back, and you need to sell high. You can get a lot from Murray right now because he is scoring points, but it's not going to be consistent. He's touchdown dependent. He's getting, what, 8 carries a game? That's not enough.
I still think he's a high-end two based on the offense, and I think he will be in position to score fairly often, right? I still think he'll finish the season with probably close to double-digit touchdowns. What do you think?
Maybe at this point he's gotten two already. Let's make a board bet here, board bet.
I think he has at least 8.
Yeah, I think he'll have 8. No, I want to put Murray against another running back that would be a 2. How about Latavius Murray versus... You take Latavius Murray. I will take Jeremy Langford the rest of the way.
I'll do that. Okay. Christian Brito, I am going to take... Latavius Murray, we're doing because the board wager gentleman, Kenneth, asked that we say our names. I'm going to take, Brito's going to take Latavius Murray rest of season or for the full season or what?
Full season.
Full season, I'll take Latavius Murray.
And I will take, Armando Crespo will take Jeremy Langford.
All right, eat bet.
Oh, that's good, that's good.
Yeah, that we already did that, Armando. Oh, clearly you? Don't listen to the show. Me and Dale record.
What about LeGarrette Blount? Would you do that one?
I would also do that one.
That one's close. These might change really quick.
Yeah, Tom Brady comes back. All right, LeGarrette Blount, you're cut. Like, yeah, what the fuck? Like, Patriots do shit like
that's
that.
The only reason why I saw James White, because I know week 5, it's going to be a completely different offense.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, well, let's move on to wide receivers now.
Yeah, so let's go ahead and move into wide receivers. Some, not nearly as many injuries or as much craziness happened, but the first guy I think that I feel we need to talk about when it comes to the wide receivers is Stephon Diggs. Looking very, very nice through his first 2 games. Exploded with Sam Bradford in the offense yesterday. What do you think about Diggs, Armando?
He's the shit. We talked a little bit about him in the preseason, and yeah, he's exceeded his value at this point. It looks like he's going to demolish it. He's going to finish as a top 20 wide receiver, if not higher, if he continues. He's not going to continue at that pace, but if he continues putting up numbers somewhat close to that, he's going to be really viable as a number 2, maybe number 1 wide receiver as he continues.
Right.
Sam Bradford can really deliver that ball to him.
If you were redrafting right now, where would Diggs be in terms of your wide receivers? You top 24?
Yeah. He would probably be right behind, right in front of Michael Floyd. I have Michael Floyd 26-ish. He would be in that area. I would take him over Eric Decker, So I had to move around my ranks a bit. But yeah, he would be top 24 to 30, somewhere in that range.
He's not available in a ton of leagues, but he's a guy that is still available, depending on your format, 13 to 15% of leagues, depending on your website, I mean. So he is available out there, just not in a lot of places.
Yeah. Well, while we're talking about guys you can pick up, I got Devontae Parker for $1 in my Fab League because someone dropped him. And he's back. He got targeted the most by the Dolphins. I think it was 8 or 9 this week. So he's not even 100% yet. So that's going to be really interesting to see how that develops with Landry and Devontae Parker requiring so much coverage.
Yeah, I think Devontae Parker is definitely worth an add.
Now let's talk about the two injuries of note for wide receivers. It was Baldwin and Lockett. Both seem to be fine. Both will be ready for the week. But god damn, does that Seattle offense look terrible.
Yeah, I mean, we've got a injured and clearly not nearly as effective, if he's injured, without his mobility, Russell Wilson. We have Doug Baldwin leave the game. We have Tyler Lockett leave the game. We have Thomas Rawls be ineffective and then leave the game. I mean, am I missing any key part of their offense there? Like, holy fuck.
Can I just say one thing?
Yep.
Can I just say one thing, guys? Call that shit in July. Call that shit in July.
All right, let's calm down. This looks exactly like last year looked.
No, they usually start off slow. I give you that, but this is a little different. Like, these are injury concerns versus being ineffective. Like, everybody's injured. Last year they were ineffective to start the season. This year it's like,
yeah.
Is Wilson going to finish the game? Is Rawls going to be the same running back we saw for 4 games last year? You know what I mean? Like, the wide receivers are banged up. You're right. There's a chance they'll flip it around. Hopefully that their bye week comes up soon, but there is, right now you should be hitting the panic button if you're a Seattle owner of any player, in my opinion.
Yeah, I wouldn't go too far on that extent. I mean, they have San Fran in the next game.
San Fran is way better than we think. They put up a fight against Carolina. Maybe Carolina's defense isn't as good as we thought. You can argue that, but San Francisco is better than we think. They're 1-1. That's better than the Dolphins can say.
It's better than several teams can say. I wouldn't hit the panic button on pretty much anybody here yet. Maybe I would on Tyler Lockett. But as far as Wilson, he's been, for the first 4 years of his career, extremely healthy. Obviously, without his mobility, he's not the same guy, like, at all. That is a very big part of his game. So yeah. If he's continuing to be limited in practice, I would worry for this next week or so. But after that, I think once he's healthy, he'll be just fine.
Yeah. All right.
All right. So let's continue with the wide receivers, because we've got a couple of pretty damn good ones. First guy that I would put in my priority would be Tyrell Williams, if he's still out there. Another guy that... Philip, I guess I gotta mention it to you, and also, I mean, it was in both of our, it was in our waiver wire article and as well as our dumpster diving article on our website, Tyrell Williams, and he looked good, you know, caught 61 yards and a touchdown.
I do want to note one thing: Inman did get more snaps than Tyrell Williams, but Tyrell Williams is a way more athletic wide receiver, so. Just something to know, if Inman's available, he's also worth the target, but don't waste a waiver wire on him. But Tyrell Williams is a more athletic, more gifted wide receiver, so he definitely will have more value than Inman moving forward. But Inman is worth a look.
I think they're both worth adds, and I think they're both worth speculating on. I think they're both going to be fine. I mean, what else are the Chargers going to do? They need to throw some of these pass catchers, and one of those two guys is going to end up getting a ton of targets. Well, they probably both will get a ton of targets in that offense with both Keenan Allen and Danny Woodhead out.
Yeah, well, they got Travis Benjamin, if he's available, you guys target him right now.
Right.
Waste all your budget on him because he's going to be top 20. But Inman is playing. When they do two wide receivers, it is Inman on the field, not Tyrell Williams. That's the only reason why he's getting more snaps than Tyrell Williams.
Yeah. I would still say that the number two is going to end up being Tyrell.
Yeah, I agree with
Williams.
That. Again,
this is assuming Benjamin's not available in your league, but he is still – Benjamin is out there in 20% of leagues. So if Benjamin's out there, I would probably waste even more of my budget on Travis Benjamin, like you alluded to, because 115 yards, two touchdowns.
So many targets, man. So many targets.
So, looked good. And, yeah, speaking of a guy that's had a lot of targets over the first 2 weeks, Armando, Quincy Enunwa of the New York Jets.
Ooh, boy.
He's looked good first 2 weeks. Caught every ball thrown his way.
he's honestly, he's my top waiver ad. If I was number one waiver wire, whatever, and I don't need a running back, he's the guy you should target.
Right.
He's getting targets. He's getting receptions over Eric Decker and over Brandon Marshall. He is above them right now as far as targets and reception goes.
So that's definitely a guy I would consider there. Two more guys I want to talk about. This one's kind of iffy here. We're talking about deeper leagues, Armando. Victor Cruz.
Mm-hmm.
Eight targets this week.
Yep.
Is he back? Like, is he worth an ad? Like, what do you think about Victor Cruz?
Honestly, I like Victor Cruz, and he's definitely worth an ad in deeper leagues. If you're in 12-team format, yes, get him as, you know, a four-string wide receiver. I don't feel comfortable starting him just yet, but the Giants are improving on offense. Yeah, I think he's definitely worth an ad. I don't see why not. Richard's starting him in our league right now as his number two wide receiver, so that goes to show you.
That's got some balls right there. I picked him up last week just to kind of see him salsa and feel good about it, and I went ahead and dropped him again because I needed some depth at don't want to say. Never mind. But
go ahead.
He's definitely worth an ad. I think at this point, we kind of need to speculate and see what's going on. I wouldn't have the balls to start him, right? He would sit on my bench and kind of let it play out a little bit more, but... Yeah. He might end up being what everybody wanted
that
Sterling Shepard to be this week.
Sterling Shepard was good.
But Sterling Shepard was still good. I mean,
he had over 100 yards, so you can't complain about that.
Can this offense, I mean, is it just going to hinder maybe Odell Beckham a little bit more?
Yes, that's what's happening right now.
We've got an offense that seems to be a little bit more well-rounded with three very good wide receivers and two talented tight ends.
They do struggle on running back position, let's say, but
right. it was an ugly week, at least for a game that was supposed to be fucking amazing for fantasy points. Really wasn't, but most people ended up okay, I guess, if you started some of these guys. So last couple guys, Cole Beasley again, with six more targets in week two, five passes for 75 yards. Worth an ad for you?
No, Dale drafts got him off the waiver wire. I don't think he's worth an ad. I think eventually Drake's gonna realize that it's Cole Beasley and he has Dez Bryant on the other side. So let's see how long that takes him. But Cole Beasley's not worth an ad. If you added him, you can cut him. Feel free to cut him. I'm exaggerating, I'll be honest, but he's not worth wasting a waiver wire on him at all.
Right. He'll probably be still available on the free agency yet, and I think he's one of those deep dive players that for as long as Dak Prescott's out there, he's probably going to end up with some targets, but you know, he's gonna realize, you know, Dez is on the other side of the field. I agree. So, Jamison Crowder,
worth an ad in deeper leagues. Watch him, and if you have the roster spot for him, like if you have a deep bench, definitely add him. He's getting the targets, and eventually Jordan Reed's going to go down. So Jamison Crowder is the guy who will see the most boost when that happens.
All right, so Armando, let's go back through these. I want to go back to the running backs.
We forgot one player that we should probably talk about.
All right.
Dante Moncrief.
Yeah, he's not available in any leagues.
No, he's injured.
Let's talk about Colts wide receiver Philip Dorsett, because Moncrief missed most of the game with a, you know, apparent shoulder injury. Hilton left the game a little bit hobbled. What do you think about Philip Dorsett, Armando?
Philip Dorsett is a must-start, must-grab off. If you grab him off waiver wire, you start him right away, because Moncrief is going to be out for a few weeks. We don't know the extent of the injury, but if he's out for any extended period of time, Philip Dorsett is definitely worth starting.
And he's a guy, I mean, he's only owned in 2.7% of leagues.
Exactly.
So he's definitely out there. And like Armando said, I mean, he looked good in week one, even with the other two guys on the field. Week two, not so much. Obviously, we're playing against the Broncos, and not looking so hot out there against probably still the best defense in the National Football League. But Dorsett, he should look pretty good as long as the matchups are good.
Yeah. Grab him if you can, please.
Speaking of matchups, his next three matchups are the Chargers, Jaguars, and Bears.
Mm-hmm.
Those are pretty juicy matchups.
They're amazing. if he's on your roster, you start him.
And I'm adding Philip Dorsett right now on my waiver.
He has 11 targets through the first two games, which isn't bad, and over 120 yards. I mean, he's with Andrew Luck back there. There's a chance he'll catch a ball or two.
Let's go ahead and hit continue. All right, confirm. All right, so Jerick McKinnon, Philip Dorsett, Fozzie Whitaker are all in my waiver priority. All right, Armando, let's do this. I want to play. I don't know if we want to call it this or that, but I do want to play a little game.
Wait, can we just go over a couple more guys before we move on? I'm sorry.
All right. There's a lot of guys. I thought we – okay.
Sorry. I just want to put a couple guys out there. Mike Wallace has caught 3 touchdowns through 2 games. Definitely worth an ad if he's available in your leagues. Definitely worth an ad. He has a connection with Joe Flacco. And still talking about the Ravens, you want to target Dennis Pitta. He had over 100 yards last game, so it seems like he's fully healthy now, and he trusts – Joe Flacco trusts it. So – both those guys, if they're available, they're definitely worth an ad. If you're hurting at tight end, Pitta is definitely the top waiver wire ad. And Terrence West, he's getting touches. You know, he's getting 12 touches a game. If you're hurting at running back, he's not effective by any means. But, you know, maybe he'll walk into the end zone one of these days. And if you need a running back, and a lot of people do this week, West might be worth an ad. And Tevin Coleman, we didn't talk about him last week. But if he's available, add him, because he's splitting the work with Freeman. So if he's available, grab him, because right now he looks like the better runner. So we'll see what happens moving forward.
I do want to quickly mention then as well, since we're talking just quickly, none of these guys are going to be elite for what I'm about to say. But let's talk just real quick about the tight ends. My number one ad that I saw, I thought he looked pretty good with Sam Bradford in the game, was Kyle Rudolph. 4 catches, 65 yards. In week one, he had the 31 yards and a touchdown. I think Kyle Rudolph is back to being that guy that you start and kind of hope for a touchdown, plus a little bit more. Like, I kind of expect him to get some yards along with it now.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that. He's been great for the first two weeks.
A couple more guys there. Clive Walford. I mean, he's looked pretty good for the first 2 weeks. 50 yards and a touchdown second week. Would you be willing to grab Clive Walford?
If I am in desperate need of a tight end and I have Gronkowski and he's out for another week and Martellus Bennett is taken, yes, Clive Walford is the number one guy. Or Vance McDonald, he caught an 80-yard touchdown. So
right. To be fair, none of these guys you probably have to waste a priority on. You can kind of pick which tight end you want to lean towards, but we have Kyle Rudolph, we have Clive Walford. Vance McDonald does look good. And I guess Dale would be upset if we didn't mention Jesse James looks pretty good as well.
Yeah, he caught another touchdown. He's, 3 receptions? That's not terrible. I mean...
Right, it's an offense that's going to be pretty good. I mean, the Bengals' defense is quite good, and he still looked okay against them. So, future schedule, he's going to be playing the Eagles next week. Probably worth an ad if you need him for at least a week or two. And we got to see how long Ladarius Green is going to be out. I mean, it might be for the whole season. So I would definitely speculate on Jesse James, but I don't think you have to waste your waiver on any of these guys. No. And if you're going to be in a fab budget, maybe $2, $3 if you want to make sure that you get them, you know? But it's not something you have to waste a ton on.
Last guy we'll talk about, and then we'll do it this or that. Darren Sproles, he's on the field a lot more than Ryan Matthews is at the moment.
Right.
So just if he's available and he stays healthy through the rest of the Monday night game, Darren Sproles is worth an ad, and just wait and see until Ryan Matthews gets injured, because it will happen.
Right. To be fair, last week Sproles did have more snaps, like Armando said, than Ryan Matthews in week one. We'll kind of see how that breaks down in week two, because we are recording this halfway through the Monday night game, so not exactly sure how that's going to continue to shake out, but Sproles is definitely cutting into Matthews' work, and it's definitely something to keep an eye on. All right, so Armando, let's play with each of these positions a little bit of this or that, I guess, with the the running backs. We'll do it in a bit of a different way, though. So give me that drop real quick.
This or that. This or that. Da-da-da-da-da-da.
All right, Armando. Let's say Matt Asiata. Would you rather have Matt Asiata? Okay. I'm going to go ahead and take Charles Sims out of the equation. If he's available, would he probably be your number one guy?
Yes.
Assuming Martin misses time.
Yeah.
All right, so let's start with Matt Asiata. Would you rather have Matt Asiata or Cameron Artis Payne?
Matt Asiata. Safety net, because I do feel like Matt Asiata will get the carries, and Fozzie Whitaker, if healthy.
Okay.
He showed enough. He showed enough that he might take away from Curtis Artis Payne, so I will go Matt Asiata.
Matt Asiata or Jay Ajayi?
Oh, Matt Asiata, because we know Peterson's going to be out for a few more weeks than Jay Ajayi.
Okay. All right. Matt Asiata or DeAndre Washington in Oakland?
Matt Asiata.
Interesting. All right.
I'm staying away from that running back by my committee over there. That's three-headed monster. I don't want any of that.
Matt Asiata or Dwayne Washington in Detroit?
Depends on the severity of the injury. If he's out for more than a week, I'll take Dwayne Washington. But from the knowledge I have right now, I'm going to go with Dwayne Washington.
Okay.
The upside and intrigues me.
That's assuming, I'm assuming here you have Matt Asiata over Jerick McKinnon?
Yes.
Okay, just based on our conversation earlier, I lean on the other side of Jerick McKinnon, and I would pretty much do Jerick McKinnon over all those other guys. Where we stood there. So let's do one more.
I picked Washington, by the way.
You picked Washington. So DeAndre Washington or Terrence West? Not DeAndre Washington. Dwayne Washington. Oh, these motherfuckers are going to confuse me all year. Dwayne Washington or Terrence West?
I'll do Dwayne Washington. I'm banking on Amir Abdullah missing at least 6 games from what I'm reading right now.
All right. And that's definitely something we'll try to keep you updated. Guys, one of the best ways you can keep updated on fantasy news is to go ahead and get on Twitter. Follow us on Twitter at eSleepFF. A little shameless promotion mid-podcast. That's fine, right? Probably not.
No.
All right. So Dwayne Washington's probably your number one ad as far as running backs here.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, personally, I'm not wasting a waiver wire this week. But, yeah, if you are desperate for running back or you lost someone this week, I feel like Dwayne Washington, find out what comes out tomorrow before I put that waiver wire in.
Let's assume, right? Let's just say some reason you're in a league, right, and you lost Keenan Allen in the first week, and then you lost Adrian Peterson in the second week.
How would that happen? How is that even possible?
Right? Let's say you're unlucky enough, right? Along with the fact that you have Tyrod Taylor on your... No, I'm just kidding.
we just named Dale's roster. He has Amir Abdullah, too.
Oh, God. Poor Dale.
I'm assuming that Amir Abdullah is going to miss a few weeks, more than four, based off what we're reading right now and what we know. That's why I'm going with Washington. I feel like he has the most upside. We know what Matt Asiata is. We kind of know what Jerry McKinnon is. I feel like I like the question mark when I'm wasting a waiver wire on Washington. I don't think Theo Riddick is going to cut into Washington's work as far as, you know, running the ball. So,
all right. So let's do the same game right now with the wide receivers, and we'll kind of wrap up with this. I play a little this or that with the wide receivers. Let's start with Victor Cruz. Would you rather have Victor Cruz or Quincy Enunwa?
Quincy Enunwa.
Okay, fair enough. I agree with you there. So Quincy Enunwa or Tyrell Williams of the Chargers?
Ooh, that is a close one. I'm going to go with Quincy Enunwa because he's just... No, I'm going with Tyrell Williams. He's right now, he has a potential to be the number one wide receiver over there, so I'm going to go with Williams. Right.
And you would only go with Williams... If I'm assuming Benjamin's available, not available in your league.
Correct.
We're gonna stick with some of the guys that are widely available. Right. But I think we both agree we would rather have Travis Benjamin if he's available in your league, which he is in almost 20% of leagues. So if he's out there, look for him. All right. So Tyrell Williams or Philip Dorsett?
That is gonna be Philip Dorsett. Based off, I think Moncrief is gonna miss a few weeks. No, right. I'm going with Williams. Sorry, I take that back. Well,
yep. I am going to agree with your you're backpedaling on every one of these, and I'm gonna go with Tyrell. These are kind of tough to figure out who you might want. So to put them in my own personal order, I would put them Tyrell Williams, Philip Dorsett, Quincy Enunwa, and then, you know, maybe you speculate on Victor Cruz.
Yeah, I completely agree with all that. It's just so, I mean, there's so many question marks coming in on Monday, so it just all depends on who's going to be out for a long period of time. Right now it feels like it's Washington, and obviously Tyrell Williams is going to get all the work, so it's between, yeah, it has to be those two guys.
And Richard would like to let you know that you should add Chris Hogan. Don't do it.
Oh, no. Is there anything else we should talk about?
I think the fuck out of here, Chris Hogan.
He's got him on all his rosters, by the way. Sitting there, waiting to be cut. Just waiting.
That's like me that I fucking put Isaiah Crowell on every single one of my drafts. And it's looking pretty decent right now, actually. I might have to play him over Jeremy Hill next week.
Yeah. Do we have anyone to play a quick dumps game? Who like any panic buttons we should talk about? I'll throw some names at you, and you tell me panic or don't panic. We don't have to go any farther than that. How about that?
We're going to move on from the waiver wire now, and we're going to kind of talk about some of the guys that we need to find out if we need to hit the panic on them. Okay, that was like the worst fucking segue of all time.
All right, so I'm going to throw you some names, and you tell me panic or don't panic, okay?
All right.
Let's start with the very first one, Mark Ingram.
Not yet, but I had him rated, I think, as a high-end RB2 to come into the season, and I think that's exactly what he is. If you drafted him higher than that, maybe you're a little bit panicked, but I'm not terrified of him. I think he'll be just fine.
All right, Gurley.
I would start to worry. You wasted a very high first-round pick on an offense that's just not effective, and they can basically stock the box however they want on him. I'm panicking a little bit. Need to do like a scale on this? I'm sorry, guys. This is like the first time. So first one was a mild panic, like a 1. So no panic. Gurley's like a 6.
Yeah. All right. What about Latavius Murray? I'm panicking personally on Latavius Murray.
I'll give you a 4. He's showing the ball a little bit more than I thought he would.
Yeah. What about? I guess I wouldn't put Lamar Miller in this category, but
Lamar Miller is a 0 for me. Okay. I think, I mean, he's got to be top 5 in yards, and he just hasn't scored as much as you expect him to, but he's doing just fine. 0 for Lamar Miller.
Odell Beckham?
3, actually. I don't think he's going to finish the year as a top 2 wide receiver, right?
No.
But that doesn't necessarily mean it's a panic. You know, he'll probably still be top 5 or 6. But the other receivers are cutting into his time. And that might hurt just a little bit. But he'll get his touchdowns, and his touchdowns will be what decides how high he'll finish at the end of the year. And he's going to be just fine. So let me lower that down. I'll put it at 2.
All right. That's fair enough. Devontae Freeman and then Eddie Lacy.
I'm going to give you a good 6 on Devontae Freeman as well. Sharing the ball a lot more than I thought he would.
Yeah.
He was effective, though. Like, that's kind of, you know, it's a 5 or 6 just based on he's sharing the ball. But he looked fucking good. Like, what was it, almost 6 yards a carry?
Yeah.
So he just didn't get into the end zone. It's kind of one of those things. He got 17 carries, right? And that's plenty of work. He got 992 rushing yards. Like, I'm happy with that. But at the same time, you just wonder how much it would be, how nice it would be if he got all the work. But then again, we saw him slow down at the end of the year when he did get all the work. So it's kind of like pick your poison with him.
Yeah. Eddie Lacy?
That offense as a whole, man, they're not looking as good as we thought they would be. Yeah, I'm not panicked. I just don't think he's going to be elite.
I'm personally not panicking at all in the Green Bay offense.
I'd say, yeah, like a 3. I'm not, like, scared.
I am worried about Eddie Lacy than I am the Green Bay Packers offense. I feel like it was a tough defense. And, yeah. Go ahead.
Here's a little eyebrow raise. It's not necessarily a panic. I'd still say my panic is a 0 or a 1. I'm not panicked at all. But Chris Johnson had more carries than David Johnson this week.
They were up by, like, 30 points, man.
Still, though, like,
no, he had over 25 carries last week against New England. Okay. I'm fine with it.
I love David Johnson. I'm sorry. I shouldn't have said shit. I apologize.
I will eat, I guess I, I admit that I am wrong about David Johnson.
You know who I am panicking about?
Who?
Anybody on the Arizona wide receivers that's not that's named Larry Fitzgerald.
That's exactly what I was going to say. That was my next one. I was waiting for that. I was going to go into the wide receivers. I think John Brown's worth dropping at this point in the game.
John Brown is, I don't know about dropping, but he's a guy that's going to be on my bench for the next 3 weeks.
If you have a full roster and Tyree Williams is available, you're dropping him. Like if you have no one else to drop and you have Tyree.
I would 100% drop him for Stephon Diggs.
Yes,
like close.
Clearly, yeah. I mean, but I mean, like this is a tougher decision. You got Tyree Williams looking at you. You got Philip Dorsett. If both of them are going to get significant snaps, I would rather have them moving forward than John Brown.
John Brown's not going to be good unless one of those other two wide receivers gets hurt.
Yeah. Jeremy.
Watch Hill. That shit happen next week. I'm not panicked on Jeremy Hill. He's gonna fall into the end zone every other week, just like he did last week.
Yeah.
I'm not scared. I mean, he's ineffective, but he's. He was drafted exactly at what he's going to finish at, which is a top 20 running back who's going to be kind of hit or miss, and it all depends on whether or not he gets that touchdown. And he'll have a couple of great weeks mixed in there, but he'll have mediocre weeks all the time.
Yeah, I agree with most of those. So I'm personally really – if I have John Brown, I'm cutting him for if I'm able to get Philip Dorsett or Tyree Williams or one of the other running backs we talked about earlier.
I'd be very pleasantly surprised if I drafted a guy like Larry Fitzgerald, if I drafted a guy like Isaiah Crowell. Anybody else you're panicking on, Armando? Anybody else you want to ask about?
No, I mean, I got a couple. Let's do some sell highs because there's like three or four guys I want to ask your real thoughts on. Okay. Like Mike Wallace. If you have Mike Wallace, is it time to sell him or do you hold on to him?
Yeah. Mike Wallace is the new Torrey Smith, and for all the arguments me and Dale had about who was going to be the most effective wide receiver in Baltimore, it's going to be Mike Wallace.
I know. I got him in listener league last week. I'm so happy about it.
He's going to be good every other week. Again, yeah. I would never feel 2 weeks
in a row right now for him. So I don't know.
But I would never feel comfortable starting Mike Wallace unless he was doing it for like 4 weeks in a row. And then the fifth week he's going to suck, right? Like, exactly. What's going to happen.
Another guy, Willis Snead.
No, that's going to continue all year.
I agree.
He's going to be good all year. Yeah. I think he was severely underrated this year.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that. How about Will Fuller?
How high can you sell Will Fuller right now? I don't know if you can necessarily... Unless somebody's very informed, right? Unless somebody's listening to this podcast all the time.
Right.
Sucking my own dick.
Yep.
Will Fuller's probably a good sell-high candidate if somebody's willing to pay for him. I think that offense is going to shift back to more DeAndre Hopkins, more Lamar Miller. But I think he'll be pretty effective for most of the year. I think he's a good low-end wide receiver 3 for the rest of the year.
Yeah. All right. Anyone else I'm missing we should talk about? Melvin Gordon. I mean, after that, Danny Woodhead.
I don't think he's a sell high. I think he's going to be pretty damn good all year.
Yeah. I mean, 2 weeks in a row against, decent defenses, I'm okay. I'll hold on to him.
One more guy I do not think is a sell high is Marvin Jones.
Oh, God damn it. I'm so mad that you guys are right about that. I'm so mad about it.
I just want to say that I might end up being wrong about Russell Wilson, but I'm not going to be wrong about Marvin Jones. And I have him in every single one of my leagues.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I was dead wrong. I was like, I got to see it before I believe it. And then now he's not available in any of my leagues.
Yeah.
All right. Anything else? I think we got it. That's a good podcast.
Yeah, man. Fuck those other guys. We don't need them.
Yeah. All right. Well, thanks for tuning in and enjoy baseball.
What?
If they're not listening to football, then maybe they're going to watch baseball.
Nobody watches baseball.
No. If you're not Cuban, you're not watching baseball.
Why you got to be Cuban?
Or Dominican, I guess.
Wow, that's really racist.
I'm both. It's okay. Have a good night, everyone.
Good night, guys. I'm in my zone, no lie. And we like to play till the sun go down. Yeah, we like to play till the sun go down. And we take that town, and we take that town. I'm in my zone, no lie.
I'm spouting. Cherry red, chariot of stallions. We don't deal with money, only blood gets the trout in. Lounging, free drinks by the fountain. Gold can't save you, but I know who died for your medallion. Code.